Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Cinema Sommelier, where we, of course, taste test movies. I'm Gary T. Moore.
And I'm Zachary Wascheleski. And today, we're joined by our Disney expert, Shelby.
Hi, everyone.
And today, we're going to talk about the 1993 movie Hocus Pocus by Kenny Ortega. Hocus Pocus is another of our spooky Spooktober movies that we're going to be talking about. It is a nostalgia bomb from everybody's childhood, it seems, except for potentially mine. And it focuses around three witches who were executed in the 17th century and come back with diabolical plans to suck the souls out of at least one child, I guess. All of the children in Salem. I'm not quite sure their objective besides just getting the one child's soul. But I will preface all of my conversation with, I don't really like the movie, but I'm not trying to convince you that it's a bad movie because it seems like everybody loves it. And I don't want to be the bearer of bad news that it's bad. So
It was hard to tell that from your very description.
I'm so sorry. It is fun. It is colorful. It is Disney to a T. And I love that about Disney. I will give that props. But are there things that I should have talked about from a I like this movie perspective that I did not?
I mean, where to begin? But Shelby being the guest of honor, I want you to start this out because Zach said before we started rolling to convince him that this is a good movie. And I think we have the power. I don't think he's going to listen, but I think we have the power. We don't need to convince anybody else listening to this podcast, literally anywhere in the entire world.
No, because they all love it.
Of course they do. But Shelby, please take it away and let's go from beginning to end and just play by play this, the things that you like or don't like about this movie.
So I will say first off, knowing Zach, he's a hardhead, so this might be difficult, but if there's any movie that could do it, I'm going to go with Hocus Pocus. So for me, I rewatched this movie actually last night, and it's one of those movies that you can rewatch and still laugh at, and that's why I really enjoy it. From things that start way at the beginning, like the dumb, like, hey, this is ice, and he has ice shaved into the back of his head.
Priceless.
That's just, it doesn't get old. And then you get later into the story, getting to those Sanderson sisters and their weird walk, like, like whatever that is. I remember doing that as a college student for some reason, walking places. And then you get later into the story, loving Binks. If you don't love Binks, Zach, I think you might not have a soul. So maybe you should light the black flame candle. I don't know. But no, this movie it's a classic for me. I'm not a horror movie fan. I'm a Disney nerd. So if you have to ask me my favorite Halloween movies, they're literally Hocus Pocus and The Haunted Mansion, which is another one that's like,
Halloween Town.
See, I can't.
Yes,
I can't get on those. I can't get on Halloween Town. I think I aged right out of it.
Yeah, you're.
And then I can't rewrite. And I can't really do Haunted Mansion that much.
Is it because you hate Eddie Murphy? Because you might have to get out.
Because I hate Eddie Murphy. No, I freaking love Eddie.
Shrek.
Everyone loves Eddie Murphy.
Good answer.
This isn't about Eddie Murphy. This is about Hocus Pocus and the eternal flame that we burn for this. I actually, and I may get in trouble saying this, I won't. I created a lesson plan around the movie Hocus Pocus so that my students can watch it.
Stop.
I absolutely did. We are taking it from a live action movie and transforming it into a stage production. That is my advanced production classes assignment. They were so stoked. Every single child in there was so stoked. And I'm just sitting there and reveling in the fact that Zachary hates this movie. He hates this movie.
That's what I think is interesting because this movie spans. So I, like Gary, if you guys are our viewers, don't know, Gary is a high school teacher. I also teach high school. I teach the less interesting subject of math rather than theater.
Go math.
But anyway, so no, I am a math teacher, and I was actually talking to my students today because while watching Hocus Pocus, I was grading their quizzes, got to class today, realized I forgot to grade half of their quizzes because I was so in the movie. And I told them, I said, I graded these quizzes while I was watching Hocus Pocus. And all of these high school students were like, that's a great movie. We don't even fault you. That's fine. We'll look at them tomorrow.
Just don't tell me.
Let's be honest. If I'm in high school and I'm like, yeah, we can watch a movie, I'm in it. Like, I'm all for it. And like, I would love to watch Hocus Pocus. I really don't want to convince anyone that it's bad. I want to be convinced that it's good because I want to enjoy movies. I don't want to watch a movie and be like, oh, wow, the three sisters are just sort of screeching at me for an hour and a half, which is kind of how I feel about this movie. To be real, Disney historically does not do well with live action movies. They didn't do well in the 90s. They really haven't done well since. So like of the live action movies, it's probably on par with what I think Disney usually produces, which isn't as good as the cartoons.
So okay.
I will give you that.
I will say if we're talking about Disney cartoons versus live action movies, of course. Right. Walt Disney Pictures is hand in hand with making animated movies, right? What movie along the lines of other live action Disney movies are you setting this movie at? Like, what is Hocus Pocus the equivalent to when it comes to other live action Disney movies? So we can prove you wrong.
I mean, to me, kind of all of them. It's tough because the ones that I remember are the more recent ones that are remakes of cartoons, where it's if you put them against the cartoon, obviously the live action's much worse. It's nothing better than what they put out originally in the 90s or 2000s when they had put the cartoons out. So this one's difficult because it was its own thing. So I don't have a comparison. I just know that to me, they all kind of fall flat. And maybe that's just the directing in a sense that like,
you
I just don't
now you're attacking
I'm insulting Kenny Ortega. I know. Whatever. No. He did High School Musical.
Michael Jackson's personal choreographer?
Yeah. No, good. Choreography, fine. I don't think that was ever a critique of mine of this movie when I watched it originally. But like, it's just like the script writing isn't great in this movie. Like I don't like the jokes. And if that's on me for not having a sense of humor,
I guess
I'll
so.
Take,
I think
I'll take
we'll go like with it, that. We could probably end here.
Okay, cool. our shortest
episode, guys. 8 minutes long.
Thanks for having me. Zach has bad opinions.
Zach has terrible advice. Just never listen to this again.
So, okay. So let's bring it down like this. Let's look at the cast, right? You have Bette Midler, a goat.
Great.
You have Sarah Jessica Parker.
Fine.
Yes. Then you have Kathy and Jimmy, which I love. I think Kathy and Jimmy, my favorite sister, probably my favorite character, right? Then you have Thora Birch as the younger sister who kind of blew up later. Then you have the mom and dad, which aren't really the best parents.
Gary Marshall is Satan in this movie. Don't forget about Gary Marshall as
Satan. Absolutely. So good.
Master.
And then you have freaking Jason Marsden as Fathany Binks, who is the goat. Jason Marsden, as you know, was also the voice of Max Goof.
He was also Timothy McGee in NCIS.
No. So see, the thing is, they're two different actors.
Wait, really?
Yes.
Yes. Which is
confirmation. What?
Which is
they
weird.
They voiced over every single line that guy said because apparently he didn't sound like he was from the 1700s enough. And so they voiced him over with a guy who sounded more like he would be in that Thackeray Binks.
But the actor
era.
Is Tim
yes.
McGee from okay.
Yes.
I was
yes.
about to lose my mind.
In the very beginning, yes. And honestly, I think he sounds a lot like him. We're of course talking about of course it brings up Sean Murray. Is his name. But Jason Marsden, who plays Max Goof, amongst other things, he was Eric's best friend in the earlier seasons of Boy Meets World, plays in a lot of other things. He did the voice of Binks the Cat. Now, I cannot tell you why. Like, I guess, like Zach said, he didn't sound elder enough, which I don't know. I guess they want to pay Jason Marsden more money. I don't know.
I mean, you really have to think, like, what does a 17th century cat sound like? And
right.
It's a very niche.
That's a Disney question.
It is. I guess so. I mean, if you're looking at it that way. Anyway, so Binks is the cat. He gets cursed because he's Thackeray's younger sister Emily is getting ready to get her life sucked out of her. And he's like, no, nay. And then they twist the bones of him in the back. And he is a cat for 300 years until a virgin lights a black flame candle. It does, Zach, per your notes, it does harp a lot.
On the virginity thing?
On virginity. A lot.
A lot. It's like an overwhelming amount of sexual everything in this movie that I'm confused who the audience is supposed to be. Is it supposed to be me in my 20s right now? Because it still didn't quite hit. But like, it seemed to make everybody love it when they were kids. So maybe there is something that Disney's picking out on with like teenage horniness.
The furthest they can go. I think it's like they can't say sex, right?
But they can say yabos like 3 times in the span of 30 seconds.
They can say yabos. They can say virgin. Which is kind of like as far as they go maturity wise,
right? They ridiculed the guy for being a virgin and he's like 12. Like, I don't understand.
Okay, Max Dennison is at least 16.
Okay.
He drives a car.
Which adult is making fun of a 16-year-old for being a virgin?
Well, okay. Like, why? But look who makes fun of him. It's a guy who is impersonating an officer.
It's Halloween,
and it's his friends
impersonating an
so
officer.
it's not like credible people. I mean, except for his dad doesn't criticize him. His dad kind of is like, wait, really? Maybe they're like, hey, you're a good looking guy, you can, you know, get a little hocus pocus every now and then.
Please don't use pocus
for that. Also,
sorry for our younger listeners.
Sarah Jessica Parker is constantly wanting to play with children, which is just who decided to write that line into the Disney dialogue is kind of creepy to me. And like the bus driver is an absolute.
I was literally about to bring him up. His line is, as an adult, probably one of my favorite lines because it cracks me up. But as a child, I did not understand when she walks on the bus and he's like, what do you want? And she's like, children. And he goes, well, it may take me a couple tries, but I don't think it'll be a problem. I die. Okay. Like, it's so funny. But for children, I can get on board that maybe that's not appropriate. But like Disney does, maybe that's putting in for the adults that the kids don't really know.
My students today, they like, I was like, okay, like we watched at least up to half of it. And I'm like, you know, in the live action, Shelby, I think you missed this. Did you? No, you heard it. I was there. Okay. It wasn't before. I was like, hey, you know, are there any scenes you would take out or do differently? They all agreed. They're like, yeah, we'd get rid of that bus scene. It was a little creepy.
I love it.
And I'm like, it is a little creepy, but it's very funny. And then without the bus, you don't run over Binks. You don't kill Binks. Spoiler alert, Binks dies, but he comes back to life.
Can't spoil this movie.
Until the Sanderson sisters are taken care of. Spoiler alert. But no, I've also visited Salem, historic Salem, and it is absolutely gorgeous. I did read on some article that this is very, very loosely based on a true story about people who were alive during the Salem witch trials. So take that, Zach. You're pooing on history.
Man, you know what? That's fine with me. I've been doing it my whole life, but whatever.
All right, Shelby. Okay, Shelby, what is something you didn't like? Because I have like one thing I didn't like about the movie. What is something that you were like, maybe that could have been done differently? What's something that is on that list for you?
So when I was rewatching the movie, I was actually watching it with a friend, and she says to me, she says, there's continuity issues.
Of course.
For instance, when Winnie is like flying next to the car, she's like, pull over, show me your driver's license. Whereas someone in the 17th century wouldn't know what the heck that, what is a driver's license? And she says, well, then show me a permit or something like that. So there are a couple of lines in there that don't make sense in context with them coming back from the 1700s, which again, that's a minute thing. And again, it was a line that was funny to me, so I didn't really care. And I'm not one to like delve into the issues with that. But I mean, I think that would have made it better. Also, with it being Kenny Ortega, I could have definitely taken a dance number somewhere in there, but that's just me.
I could have used more music.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm with that.
Okay, yeah. I wasn't the biggest fan of when they first go to the sister's house. I wanted there to be a bigger crowd there. I don't know. I know it's a little thing, but like when they hang them, I wanted like the whole town, like I wanted to see more people, because I was watching it earlier today, actually, and there were like six people outside. And then after
the whole town.
Then after they hang them, it's like, okay, that was not the whole town in Salem in that year. And then after they hang them, the executioner just kind of like walks by, and I'm like, come on, I want this to be bigger, a bigger deal. Now, yes, continuity was bad. However, not bad. It wasn't like
Meet Cute World. It was bad.
But it was, if you know, it's. I think it's great. I love the adventure. I love the fact that they sing when they die to set the curse, and then they sing when they put the spell on them while they're singing, I put a spell on you, towards the parents, and then they don't get home until the witches die or whatever, whatever. I can't think of anything else bad to say about this. And I don't want this episode to be like, this is the best movie in the world. I mean, it is. But like, I don't want this episode. I want a little bit of, you know, juxtaposition. And that's why I'm glad that you don't have a soul, Zach.
No, that's honestly, like, I think the continuity is my biggest pet peeve with it. And like, overlooking it is something that, like, once you see it, it's very hard to unsee it. But there's such little details when it comes to making a movie that just makes it scream as like they didn't really care when they were making this movie, or maybe they just weren't planning enough ahead of time. Like there's a shot at the beginning when they open into the high school, or when they're leaving the high school, it's like 3:05 on the clock. And like, yeah, that makes sense. Kids are getting out of school 3:05. Later, when they go back to the high school, they use the exact same shot of 3:05 on the high school at nighttime. They just darken the shot because they're like, we need another shot of the high school. We got one already. Let's just darken it and make it 3:05 again. And then it's midnight in the next scene. And I'm just like, things like that where I'm like, they just didn't plan enough to think like, do we need a shot of the high school at the nighttime or no? And then like, yeah, we definitely need it. And then there's like when he writes his phone number on the piece of paper and gives it to the girl in the middle of class, which is also like a weird thing to do. But when he gives it to her, she walks outside and she gives him that piece of paper back. It's a completely different piece of paper. The writing's different. It's on the different side. It's on the right side of the paper instead of the left side of the paper. And it's like, you couldn't even keep this prop.
I think she just folded it up differently.
Go rewatch it in class.
Somebody fact check this right now.
And it's small details. Like those are very minute. Like you could care less about them. Fine.
You should care less about them. Like if that's what's making you dislike this movie, you already had an inclination to not like this movie. So
I will say,
which is true, probably.
I will say I did look it up, and so it came out in 1993 in what, July, right?
It was the day after I was born. I realized that.
Wow.
It takes place on what, Halloween 1993, which was a Sunday, which doesn't really add up because they do get out of school that day and they are trick-or-treating. I looked that up today. I'm just going. I wanted to look for a little bit of a little bit of, you know, firing back at the perfect.
This, what I'm hearing now, because I'm not a nitpicker of movies, is people nitpicking a movie that is fabulous just to find issues with it. So Shelby,
I love this movie.
I'm saying you guys are nitpicking it, and it's great. And if you're mad about a clock being wrong or a number being written on the wrong side of a paper, you can watch a different movie.
And I will. I absolutely will. That's fine. Why is it that this movie didn't come out on Halloween? Why did it decide to say, you know what, let's just put this out in July?
I think you have to get ready for it. Because if you put it out on Halloween, you're not going to be able to move Disney merch by the, like, especially in 93, right? So if this came out in 93 and you're releasing it, let's say, the Friday before Halloween, you're not moving, like, Hocus Pocus merch.
Let's say, like, October 13th, 1993, like, when Nightmare Before Christmas came out.
You're not moving Hocus Pocus merch. Plus, I mean, Halloween in July is beautiful because, like, no one's, like, expecting it. And all the big summer blockbusters come out. I'm not saying this is a blockbuster because it's not a blockbuster, because it was not a big hit in the beginning. I was there, believe me. I don't know. I don't know their strategy, but name another movie that came out summer of 93 that people watch every single year.
No, I'm not saying that it wasn't a good strategy, because it clearly was. It's a hit and everyone loves it still to this day. Disney also made Nightmare Before Christmas in 1993, put that one out around the time of Halloween because they knew that that was going to be a better movie. I don't think that they expected this one to be very good.
See, that's where I disagree. I've never been the biggest fan of Nightmare Before Christmas.
I think we might be the same person. Not a Nightmare Before Christmas. I don't like Tim Burton. That's just not my style.
See, I loved him. Batman Returns is like my second favorite Batman of all time.
But would you agree, in the same vein as, hey, they released it earlier so they were getting ready for Halloween? It depends on if you classify Nightmare Before Christmas as a Halloween movie or a Christmas movie. Because if you classify it as a Christmas movie, then it's being rolled out roughly 2 to 3 months before Christmas. So it's in that same timeline that Hocus Pocus would have been with Halloween.
And if that's the case, then I guess Disney is just trying to get that 2 month ahead of time schedule. But me, it just screams of, like, unprepared for putting both of these movies at the same time. Like, it could have just been straight to TV in my eyes. But
oh my god!
I was reading that the role of Max was originally offered to Leonardo DiCaprio.
Right. That could have been his Oscar.
It would have been his Oscar. But
he got nominated for What's Eating Gilbert Grape in the exact same year.
Which is what he turned down to do.
Okay.
I will say, I love What's Eating Gilbert Grape.
Right. He could have won as Max.
That's for sure.
Thank you.
So let's go ahead. Give one final, we'll do like a 30-second spit take. I like this idea of spit takes. Thank you, Haley. A spit take of this movie, everything your complete thoughts, 30 seconds. Shelby, you're the guest of honor. We'll let you go whenever you want to. 30 seconds on this movie.
Put me on the spot here.
Yep.
No, I love this movie. It's one, I am not a fan of horror movies at all. So for a Halloween movie, if I'm trying to get in the Halloween spooky spirit, this is about as spooky as it gets. It's one of those movies, like I said, that you can watch over and over and I still laugh every time that I watch it. It's wholesome. I don't know if it has a great message as we've talked about, but it's one that you can watch. You can watch it engaged. You can have it on the background. Like, it's just a movie that kind of spans all of those realms for me. So I really enjoy it.
Okay. All right. Zach, probably a very opposing view.
Go ahead and just, like, cut this part out. post-production.
I'll take the opposite approach. I have such great respect for this movie for being, I mean, almost 30 years old now, and it still gets watched once a year, every October. Like, it is incredible for a movie to last that much with how bad I actually think it is. Like, to have someone adore this movie as much as it seems like both of you do, like, I really I have to give it respect for whatever it's doing because it's clearly working. I don't like the movie and I'm not going to say that I do, but I also don't want to trash a movie that I think everybody else adores. So I'll take my 30 seconds for that.
Okay. All right. Well, really quick before I start, I think Jurassic Park was released on the same day as Hocus Pocus.
So two equally great movies.
So no wonder Hocus Pocus did really bad in the box office. It's not because it was a bad movie. It was just because Jurassic Park is a bit better.
If I'm reading this correctly. But anyway, so my two cents. Of course, I love this movie. I love everything about this movie. This got me into like paranormal, if you will, if you'll kind of go on that. And I think it opens people up. It's got a little bit of history, a little bit of paranormal, a lot of humor, Bette Midler, Kathy and Jimmy. And I love the architecture of New England. And I think that this movie gives you everything. And it is heartwarming, but it is split for both audiences, both kids and adults. And I think it toes that line of being appropriate. And I think it stays on the line of being appropriate for more for children. And, I guarantee you, if we took a poll, everyone listening right now, if we took a poll saying if you like it or not, it's going to be a big bar graph in the shape of a witch hat pointing towards we're liking it.
I struggled on that one. I struggled on that one. I don't know where I was
going.
Clearly, you're not a math teacher.
As a math teacher, a witch's hat doesn't feel like it's predominantly good reviews. It feels like it's more almost, mediocre.
Yeah, it's almost like a bell curve, if you will. And that means average of C. So,
okay, I'll give it a C. That's right in between all of us.
Gary, try that again. It's fine. It'll be good.
I meant like it goes, like it points to success.
Right.
Yes, that seems like a theatery way to do it. Yes, mm-hmm. Perfect.
For those of you who have subscribed to our Patreon and get our video feed, I'm pointing a witch's hat. Anyway, okay, so let's get to, let's get me out of the hot water. Let's get to ratings. Shelby, once again, you'll go first. Please give us your rating, and then are we going to do rating and drinks together, or are we going to do rating and then drinks afterwards?
Both of them together. Why not?
Okay. And remember, it is 0 out of 100, such as the wine scale is, because we here at Cinema Sommelier follow that strategic chart.
It's a logical scale. Yeah. I am going to give this movie a 93. I love this movie. I think it's fabulous. I've talked about it. There are little things here and there. I also am just a woman that's easy to please. So, like, you give me a fun movie I enjoy watching over and over, I'm happy. Similarly, something that I enjoy over and over again, I'm going to compare this movie to a nice mulled wine. It's a nice wine. For me, when I make my mulled wine, it's a nice red, which I kind of pair with Winnie. And then you put in some apple cider, which I pair with, what is the brunette sister's name?
Kathy and Jimmy.
Yes. And then I also throw in a little dash of cinnamon, which you don't really know what it's doing there, but it spices it up, which is kind of how I do Jessica Parker's character.
Sarah Jessica Parker.
Put them all in a cauldron and heat them up, and then you have a nice mulled wine, and that's exactly how I think Hocus Pocus is. So I like to cuddle up, have a mulled wine, and enjoy it.
That was a very good drink description. I think that was
kind of want some right now. Thank you.
Yeah, definitely get some.
Yeah.
Gary, do you want to go next?
Sure, I'll go next. So I was reading, this thing again. Of course, I love this movie. Will I score it a 93? No, but I will score it an 89, which is, I know, high, but I'm scoring it because on the explanation side of this chart, it says, very good, a wine with special qualities. Meaning, this movie is not perfect, right? I'm not claiming it is. But it's got special qualities. It's got nostalgia. It's got heart. It's got witches. It's got the very best holiday ever made, Halloween. And I think those are enough to earn this a very solid 89. I think if Kenny Ortega threw in a dance number, this would easily be a 90 or above. which you kind of have a dance number with Put a Spell on You. For my drink, I'm not going to do a wine. I'm actually going to do it's a cocktail called Another Glorious Morning. I looked it up. It is based on Hocus Pocus. It is black raspberry sparkling ice and vodka.
Oh.
I don't know. Horrible. I actually fitting. Don't really. Oh, right. I actually don't drink that much, as you know. But the picture looked pretty and the name was apt. And so that's really all I got to go on. Much like Sarah Jessica Parker. Zach, take us home.
So you all know my opinions at this point of the episode. I don't like this movie. I actively think that it annoys me to watch this movie. And yet I did. I watched it and I will continue to applaud it for all of the people who love it. I'm, though, going to give it a 17 out of 100 because
it's 17.
You better have said 70 right
it's
now.
A bad movie. No, 17, not 70. I think it's a bad movie, though I didn't convince anyone here, and I hope I didn't convince anyone listening to think my way, because I want to see people enjoy cinema as much as we do. I just think it's bad, and I will watch a different movie over Halloween. However, I'm going to compare it to a delicious hot apple cider, maybe with a splash of cinnamon, because why not with Sarah Jessica Parker? You might as well add cinnamon in. We're all going to have that little dash of who knows what this is doing. It's already apple cider. But yeah, so a 17, but a delicious hot apple cider in the fall.
What did you give Cloud Atlas?
Like 3 times more than this.
Holy God.
Yeah.
Gary, would you like him to co-host and you can just get rid of him? Because I'll
volunteer. Yeah, maybe we can do that. Jesus.
I promise you the next movie I will hopefully enjoy more than this and not be as tough of a critic.
Speaking of our next movie, let's spin that wheel. OMG. So our next movie, which the podcast will be on the 1st of November, very, very fitting, is Disney Pixar's Coco. Oh, I love this movie. It's one of the most gorgeous. Anyway, I can't talk about it now. I'll save 30 minutes of talking for it later. So, Shelby, thank you so very much for taking time out of your night and joining us. We would love to have you back literally anytime, even when we're not
literally recording. Next week.
Literally next week when we do Coco. So grab your floppy tongue dogs
and your tissues for wiping your tears
and your guitar. And
meet me meet
us in
the Land of the Dead.
The
Land of the Dead.
Ladies and gentlemen, for Cinema Sommelier, I am Gary T. Moore.
And I'm Zachary Washleski.
And I'm Shelby.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you guys so much for listening.
Come on back. And thank you again, Shelby. This has been a blast.
Thank you, guys. Twist the phone.